Amen? Amen. I'm glad to hear you say amen. You know, some churches are quiet, you know. They have two men like Brother Rick and his partner back there at the door. And when they come in, they give them zippers for their mouth and handcuffs for their hands. Amen. Amen. Oh, you've been there, huh? Amen. Hey, how many of you believe in adoption? Amen. That's good. That's good. That's what we're going to be speaking on this morning, on adoption. We'll be in 2 Samuel. How many of you got a red Bible? I don't mean the color red. I mean you read it every day. Okay. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to just read verse 1 for you, and then I got other scriptures I'll be going to, and you can just mark them down in your memory blank and go to them when you want to and study them. You know, every verse in the scripture is good for study. And I'll guarantee you, every time you read it, you get something different. See, God gave us a brain, but he didn't give it in a way where we could comprehend everything that he knows and that he does. So that's why we get a little at a time as we read God's word. He gives it to us a little at a time so we can absorb what we're getting. And that's the way he is, being the Heavenly Father. Chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. And let's all stand and honor God in the reading of his word. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Heavenly Father, bless your word richly this morning, that, Lord, that we can see what you have for us. And Lord, that we could comprehend it and that we could use it in our daily life. But most of all, Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and truth. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There was two parents one time adopted a little boy. And they raised him in church, and when he got to the age of about 6 or 7, he was in the pastor's teaching in Sunday school, because the pastor, he had the little boys and girls that was of that age. And this little Johnny, he lied all the time. And these parents and the preacher, and they got together, and the parents said, "Now, we adopted little Johnny. We don't know his bloodline quite as we should. And I know he has some trouble. And Pastor, what did he do now?" And he says, "Well, your little boy, he continues to lie. And he lies all the time. And I can't show him, you know, how not to lie." And she says, "Well, we've been trying that. That's why we sent him to your class. And I'm sorry that he's doing the same thing." And so the pastor, he got to praying about it. And at the local seminary down from the church, he went down to the professor down there. And he says, "Sir, I got a little 6-year-old boy that just lies all the time. I mean, just every breath that he speaks, he lies all the time. And he's adopted. And I just don't know his bloodline. I don't know where he came from, you know, before his adopted mother and father adopted him. And I'm worried about him. And maybe you could tell me what I could do." He said, "Use reverse psychology." That's what all professors tell you. Use reverse psychology. He said, just think up the biggest lie that you could before next Sunday school, and you tell it to that little boy, and he'll see how stupid it is, and he'll quit lying. I guarantee it. Well, the pastor said, sir, I can't tell a little boy a lie. Well, you got to use it this time. God will forgive you. So he worried about that all week, and he tried to think of a lie, and he just couldn't come up with anything. And come Sunday morning, as he was walking down to the church to be in Sunday school with these little boys and girls, he just thought of a lie. And he went in and he called Johnny up front. He says, Johnny, you know what happened to me as I was walking to church this morning? He says, out of the woods came this big 3,000-pound gorilla. He picked me up by the ankles, and he threw me around in the air like that, and he tossed me back down on the ground. And lo and behold, out of the house right across the street from the woods there came out a little Chihuahua dog. And that dog came up to that 3,000-pound gorilla, grabbed him by the ankles, took and threw him around in the air, and tossed him back out in the woods. Johnny, do you believe that little story? Yes, sir, I do. That was my dog. You find things about little children sometime, don't you? Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, let's look at this for a moment. You know, there was the adoption of what David done for Mephibosheth. Remember who Mephibosheth was? You know, he was a young boy that his servant, Ziba, fell on him. Ziba was a big, heavy man. And he took Mephibosheth when there was a fight going on and ran out and tripped and fell on him and broke his legs and crushed him where he couldn't walk anymore. And so now David is asking about him because he wants to take care of him. But yet there's two other stories in the Bible that tells about adoption. The first one is Moses. Remember in the story of Moses how Pharaoh wanted to get the firstborn little male children and kill them. And yet Moses' mother built him a little ark, fixed it up, you know, where it wouldn't leak, and put him in it and sent him down the river. And then Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and her servants found little Moses and brought him up to her, and she adopted Moses. But then there's another one. Think about Esther in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, God is never mentioned, but his presence is there. As you read it and study it, you feel God's presence there. Because Esther was adopted by Mordecai. Remember, Mordecai was the brother of her father, and her father and mother was killed, and so Mordecai took her in and adopted her. And she became a legend of the Lord because the Lord used her in saving the nation Israel at that time. And these two adoptions, you know, the first adoption with Moses was out of sympathy. And then the adoption of Esther was out of responsibility. But yet we see the adoption of what David's doing for Mephibosheth by out of love. So you got sympathy, you got responsibility, and now you got love. And how he took Mephibosheth in and said, you will eat at the king's table. See, there's a story to that in God and about what God does. A story on eating at the king's table. Don't you know one day that we will be eating at the king's table? Think about that. Think about it. But yet, not only sympathy and responsibility and love, but there's something that's more than that. It's the most marvelous adoption that ever lived. And that's when you got saved. You know that? Don't you know you're an adopted son and daughter of God? I'll say that again. Don't you know that you're an adopted child of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You ought to thank him every day for that, because, see, he brought you out of a world of trouble. He brought you out of sin. Now, that don't mean you don't sin. Your sin is forgiven. It burned up on the cross with Christ. When he died, he took that sin for you. He done that for you. And how much more could we feel than when we came and surrendered to God, that he would take us in and adopt us and take us in as his. And we are his. He gave us to our parents. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He gave us to our parents. I overheard somebody talking about this thing about how they kill these children today. Abortion. You know, I hate that word. I hate it. God bless. No matter how it happened, no matter how it happened, God blessed it. And how can anybody take it away? See, and that's sad. That's sad, because, see, that little child could be adopted by God. One day, people are going to pay for that. And we see that. But the most wonderful adoption of all is us. When we were saved. Look in 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 6. Just go there with me, if you would. Verses 17 and 18. And this brings it out to us. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye servants and separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a friend unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Now see, that's a promise. That's a promise. See, we need to come out from among them. And when you got saved, you did. How many of you believe that when you got saved, you got touched by the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You don't have to pray for it anymore. You received the Holy Spirit in your life. That Holy Spirit caused that adoption when it came into your life. See, that made you a child of the King. That made you of the priesthood, although you're not a priest. Only Jesus is the priest. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's the priest. But yet we see something else about adoption, what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Go to chapter 9 there in the book of Romans, if you would. Just follow along with me. Excuse me, chapter 8. And there's seven things I want to point out to you about this. Look at verse 1. Therefore, is there now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? See, let's read that again. See, what he's bringing out to us here, that who can condemn us, and we as Christians? Who can? Nobody can. Nobody. And that's what he's bringing out here. But yet in verses 2 and 3, we see that he frees us from the sin and death. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free. All right. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. It made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What is he telling us here? See, the law cannot save us. But we have to obey the law. See, the law is the Ten Commandments. Remember them? Amen. We have to follow them. But yet it's only by grace that we're saved. And that's what Paul was trying to bring out here to us in letting us know that, see, he freed us from the sin and death. When Jesus rose from the grave, he conquered death. How many of you believe you don't die? Boy, the graveyard's going to be packed. Amen. Come on. No. Paul says you go to sleep. See, death was conquered by Jesus Christ. See, when we do go to sleep for that final rest, this tomb will go to sleep. And then when Jesus comes again and calls us out of the grave, we wake up. Yeah, you're supposed to say amen at that time. Amen. Yeah. You wake up to go to meet him in the air. Then we who are remaining walking on the earth shall follow them which came out of the grave, which woke up. And there's a difference there. And a lot of, I met Christians that's so afraid of dying. I want to tell you something. I'm not afraid of dying. I got a heavenly home, and I can't hardly wait to see it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because, see, we're vacating down here. This is not our final home. Our final home is up with the King. You know, there's a denomination up there, and walking on the earth today that believes they're the only ones that's going to be up there. Can you imagine when all us Baptists get up there? And we see them. Remember what old Gomer Powell used to say? Surprise, surprise, surprise. We'll blow them out of socket. Excuse me, Lord, I had to say that. Well, let's look at point number two here, verse 4. See what verse 4 brings us. He enables us to fulfill the law. He gives that to us. You know why? We got it right here. 2 Timothy tells us that we need to study to show ourselves approved. That's why everybody that was here this morning should have been in Sunday school. All right, Sunday school director, I'm plugging in for you. Come on. Thank you, brother. Need to be in Sunday school. You need to study to show yourself approved. And it's what he's talking about here. He enables us to fulfill the law. And by doing that, see, we're always in worship. Psalms 1 tells us about blessed is the man, you know, who don't sit among the scornful. And he's in studying both day and night. He's meditating day and night in God's word. See, that's what we're supposed to do. You mean, Brother Jim, I got to read the Bible every day? You don't have to read the whole Bible every day. There's not a man alive that can do that every day. But read something of what God's got for you in here. And I'll guarantee you, anything that you read of what God's got for you, he'll show it to you that day that you read it. He'll bring it out to you. And you need to do that. That's why we need to fulfill that. See, this is his law, his Bible. What's the old song the kids sing? You know, the Bible tells me so. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to do. Well, let's look at point number five here. Point number five. He guarantees our glory. Verses 17 through 25. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now see, when you're together here, You're amongst saints together. There ought not be a ought against any brother or sister in the congregation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, because you're in a glorified atmosphere. The Bible also tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. You know, I mentioned about the handcuffs and the zippers. See, when the spirit touches you, praise him. Praise him. Oh, Brother Jim, we're Baptists. We're not supposed to shout. We're not supposed to be loud. We're supposed to be reverent. Baloney. Baloney. You know, at a former church that I was in, had a lady that was 95 years old. I mean, just, boy, she could do just about anything. She lived across the street from the church, and she had a garden over there, and she would plant black-eyed peas and tomatoes and collard greens and, you know, and bring them over to the pastor. Boy, she was sweet. And one Sunday, I mean, I was preaching on hell. You don't hear that much from the pulpit anymore. You know it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of her. Mind you, you know, that wasn't the Pentecostal church. It was Baptist. And she stood up just praising the Lord. And just, I mean, just thanking him. She was talking to him where everyone could understand. She was talking to him, praising him for the strength that he has given her at 95 years old. Praising her that she could just keep on keeping on. Giving him all the praise in the world because, hallelujah, she was alive and walking on the earth. She was praising him. You know what I did? I stood back and let her go. Amen. You don't quench the spirit. Now, what I'm fixing to say is not on you deacons that's in this church, but I had one down there and went over there and told her not to come there no more if she's going to do that. And she come over crying to me, and I says, don't pay no attention to that man. He don't know what he's talking about. He don't know the Bible. You know, in the 150th Psalm, it says, when the Spirit hits you, if you're playing some cymbals, clash them. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. See, there's nothing wrong with that. It's all in the Bible. What did he just tell us? You know, don't be in the flesh, obey the law. Obey the law. In the whole book of Psalms, it's just nothing but praise and worship. That's what churches ought to be doing today. Praise and worship. You know, I don't know where all this falling away is going and where they're going to, but they're going into trouble. Every church in this universe ought to be packed every worship day. Just like back in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. You know, when they finally found the book of Moses and opened it up, what did the congregation do? They fell on their face in worship, saying, amen, 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 just praising the Lord. That's what churches ought to be doing today. You come back tonight, I'm going to be preaching on that, about the seven churches of Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. You come back, see, what Jesus had to say to those seven churches back then means today, too. You need to listen. Church, you need to listen. Let's go on. I didn't mean to carry off on that. That's however the Spirit led me to go. How about in this glory? He guarantees our glory. Look at verse 25, if you turn there. Verse 25. But if we hope for that which see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See? Now see, we as Christians today, we can't see Jesus personally until he comes. But each and every one of us need to show Jesus to others.
Amen.
Okay. You know, I tell some congregations, if you're afraid to say amen, do it the way the deaf and the mute do. I remember after I got saved, the Holy Spirit really touched me. He sent me to a church, and I was sitting there, and the preacher preached on something that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I said, amen, hallelujah. And I heard 300 necks turn around and pop, trying to find out who said that. If the Spirit hits you, let him know it. You know, he likes to hear you every once in a while. He wants to make sure that what he gave you is alive and not dead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, nothing. Way to go, brother. You got it now. Look at number 6. He intercedes for us in verses 26 and 27. Look at that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we knew not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. You know what he's talking about? Watch what you pray for. Don't let the Holy Spirit groan. You know, when he goes up, did you know what Brother Jim prayed for now? You know, he's talking to the Lord. The most ridiculous prayer I ever heard. He prayed that he wanted a brand new Cadillac. Now, you know, isn't that an awful prayer? Well, you know, Brother Jim didn't think so, but the Holy Spirit did. And so we ought to watch what we pray for. Watch what we pray for. Verse 27, he says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. See, what did Jesus say when he left? He says, I go away, but I'll send you a comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. You remember when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, chapter 2? You know, when they were all up in the upper room, the 120 of them? Woo! And he came in as a rushing mighty wind. He touched all of them, gave them clovens of fire to the tongue. And the reason why he done that, there was 15 different colonies out there that could not understand one another, and they had to speak their language. So when Peter went out there and spoke, they understood him. And 3,000 souls just like that got saved. Wouldn't you love to see your pastor standing there? Oh, you don't have one back there. You got a baptism back there? Yeah, okay. He's standing in the baptism back there every service, baptizing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, that can still happen. It can happen. You know, I adopt you in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen, see? And then you become adopted child of God. Woo, that gets me going. Amen. But see, he intercedes for you. See, he takes care of you. He watches over you day and night. He don't even sleep nor slumber. You go to bed and rest, he's watching over you. Every night he's watching over you. Every day he's watching over you. He's taking care of you. You know, he's walking in through the church every time that you meet here. You don't believe that, do you? He does. He does. And church, let me tell you something. Don't let him hang Ichabod on the door. Keep praising him. Keep worshiping. Keep your eyes on him, not on what somebody else done, but keep your eyes on him. And he'll protect you. He'll intercede for you. He'll watch over you. And then, point number 7, he confirms our adoption. He confirms our adoption. Look at verse 34, reading through the end of the chapter. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercessions for us. See, he's repeating that. He's letting you know it again. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or perils or sword? As it is written, for the sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loveth us. Read on now. He gets good with it. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give him praise for that. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 See, he'll protect you and watch over you. Nothing can separate you from him. Nothing. Because you're an adopted child of God. Woo, glory. That makes me feel good. You are. You're an adopted child of God. And what is an adopted child of God supposed to do? You're supposed to praise him for it. I notice on your advertisements here that the church needs help in several different aspects. You being adopted, capitalize that now, adopted child of God. God is sending you a message. Oh, I see some heads bowing. I want to ask you, is that bowing in shame? God is asking you, as his adopted child, won't you help me? Won't you help me drive this van? Won't you help me of all these other things that needs been? Won't you help me take care of my lawn? Won't you help me do that? See, that's God talking to you. He wouldn't have helped you provide to put that screen up there and this machine up here, whatever you want to call it, video. That he can send messages to you where you can see it. See, when you see it up here, it's not any individual coming up and asking you to do it where you could tell them no. If you say no, you said it to God because he brought it out on here. You're an adopted child of God, the Most High. the King, the one that saved your soul. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When we close and have invitation, I asked Dawn if she, I think she's going to have a little group up here sing the invitation. Or you could sing it by yourself if you want to. But I want the church to come forward to the altar and pray. And if the Holy Spirit touches you to do any of these jobs that they're asking for, you go to whoever you need to go to, Rick or Larry or Dale or one of the others, and tell them that the Holy Spirit has led me to do this. See, when I got saved, I felt like I had to burn the candle on both ends. Because I sung in quartets and never was saved. I thought it was fun singing because I didn't know what I was singing until I got saved. And then when I was singing the same songs, I got touched. See, you know the old song, "He Touched Me"? See, He touches you. And as they're singing the invitation, if He touches you, you surrender your will to Him. And He'll use you. He'll use you. And I'll tell you what, you won't regret it. You won't regret it. He'll bless you in whatever He leads you to do, because He wouldn't put you in a storm. He'll take you out of a storm, but He won't never put you in one like that. But I don't know what He'd do if you refuse Him. It might not be a storm, but He'll make you feel like you're the most miserable person in the world. And maybe there's some of you here today that feels like you're the most miserable person in the world. You heard your reason why. You refused Him. You need to do something for Him. Heavenly Father, we love You, Lord. And Lord, most of all, we just praise You for what You've done in our lives, and Lord, for saving our souls. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's folks here this morning that feel that the Holy Spirit's touched them to do something for their church, Lord, that they would surrender their all to You, and Lord, be used. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's lost and never knew You as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that, that may the Holy Spirit just work on them and Lord, just bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and the glory. And Lord, we'll just be ever grateful. Bless us now through this invitation, and we give You all the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand. The singers will be up here.